Up next, we've got Phenology. It's looking to be a beautiful day out there. We'd love for you to let us know what you are seeing. I was just, as we were rocking out here, picking John's brain about why I'm not seeing Trillium where I usually see Trillium. And I bet you by next week at this time, I'll tell you that they're there. They're
yep.
back.
They're going to be out for sure. Yeah, it's I have some that are blooming now, and I had a conversation with a fellow last night at a presentation that I gave that he had been down in the Brainerd area and said that down there the ditches were just full. Mm. And I would imagine if you're traveling south on 169 leaving Grand Rapids that you'll probably start seeing trilliums before you get to Hill City, and then from Hill City south, there should be lots of spots along the way where there are trilliums blooming in the ditches. Big white flowers. Myrmecochory. Myrmecochorus? Mm. That means that the seeds are moved about by ants. So, and that's not the only way they propagate, but that's one way that they can spread.
We heard from our friend Mary. It's not a morning until we hear from Mary from Cass Lake. Thank you so much for texting in today. Mary says, what a beautiful morning. Mama swan is still sitting on the nest.
Yeah, my swan is still hanging tight. I heard the turkeys this morning gobbling just a chorus. They were challenging one another. I've had this one turkey coming into my yard. It's a hen, and she has a gimpy leg, or she had. I'm not sure. I found four or five feathers along the edge of my driveway, and they were turkey feathers, and I don't know if she's because of her gimpy leg, if she got caught by the coyote or what, but I haven't seen her in about 4 days, so I don't know if she's doing okay or not, but they're out and making a ruckus in the mornings. Besides the turkeys, of course, there were, this morning it was sandhill cranes, swans, turkeys, loons. Who else was calling? Oh, my. It was just this cacophony of large birds. I mean, there's that underlayer of small birds that are calling a storm as well. This is the season. The warblers are coming back, and you have to get out and listen now, because by the end of June, it'll all be done.
Ah.
I mean, there'll be some bird calls after that, but gradually it will decrease through the summer, and finally there'll just be those little call notes. But this is the time of year when birds are actually sort of challenging one another over territory, and they sing their best songs, and yeah, it's really a great time to be out in the woods.
I'm loving the millions of pine siskins that are hanging out at our house.
You still have pine siskins?
Yeah, they're
crazy,
just goofy little guys, and just very persistent, and I'm enjoying them. We also, for the first time I have noticed, we have cardinal pear, but then I saw an oriole. Finally saw an oriole at my house. I've not seen it there before.
I've seen an oriole.
Here at work before, but yeah,
I think yesterday was the first oriole. The hummingbirds came back this past week, so you probably have had hummingbirds back.
Yeah, we had one or two of those.
Yeah. And the orioles come to the hummingbird feeder for a bit in the spring. I talked to another fellow last night, and he was telling me that he saw the orioles were back, so he put some oranges out on a stake, you know, so that they could come and peck at them. And he said a bear came up and ate all the oranges. Well, enough of our notes about phenology. It's time to listen to some of the children's phenology from around the area. Funding for student phenology is provided in part by the Minnesota Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund. Phenology talkbacks are produced by our own Charlie Mitchell. And our first report comes from Michelle Martin's class at Prairie Creek Community School in Northfield, Minnesota.
Hi, this is Sophie.
And this is Vigo, and we're from Prairie Creek Community School, way down south in Northfield, Minnesota.
Well, sorry the weather. It's been warm here. On Friday, there was a double rainbow.
And then many of us saw the northern lights late on Friday night. We were able to see them with the naked eye, but the colors came out on people's phones. Now we're wondering if all the colorful photos that we've seen in calendars would have looked like that in real life.
It's smoky down here today from the wildfires in Canada.
And the spruce trees are releasing their pollen in giant clouds. Achoo!
Speaking of spruce tips, they finally emerged, and we've been eating them at recess.
The locust tree also has leaf out, and our mystery tree has leafed out. It is a, drumroll please,
walnut!
Silas saw our first hummingbird, finally, on May 11th.
We have blue jays and robins nesting.
Maysoon saw a field with over 20 red-winged blackbirds.
We've also seen killdeers and pheasants.
Anita's mom saw goslings on her walk, too.
Eric saw a bat.
Which is not surprising because we noticed more mosquitoes this week.
The tiny swarming black ants are out on our sidewalk, and a few folks have seen the flying lemon ants.
Jimmy saw baby bunnies, and Andrew reports that the fox kits are still hanging around their den.
This has been Prairie Creek.
One more step along the phenology journey.
Thanks. That's a great report, Sophie and Vigo. It was fun to hear. Lots of things in there. Baby bunnies and fox kits. There's a rhythm to nature. And the canids, those foxes and coyotes and wolves, they plan their birth of their young, not only in the early spring, because it gives them all summer to sort of get them used to living out there, but there is also this explosion of baby rabbits and baby mice and just a lot of inexperienced prey species out there that can be gathered quickly and efficiently to feed all these hungry little mother, all these hungry little baby canids. So there are a lot of baby bunnies, and not all of them are going to grow up to be rabbits, but some. And that's all we need. Goslings, I haven't seen any goslings, but somebody told me they had seen goslings in this area. It just, you know, it depends on when mama gets her start. And usually that's, the opening of fishing season is usually about the time that I start looking for little baby geese. So they'll be out, and the trumpeter swans will be out pretty soon as well. So, Mary, you and I will both be a happy parent or godparents to a couple of trumpeter swans here in a little bit. Our next report comes from Chad Caddett's class at Little Falls Middle School.
This is Mariah and Savannah reporting from Mr. Caddett's class in Little Falls Middle School. This is our phenology report for the week of May 12th.
Flowers on crabapple, plum, and cherry trees are very showy right now.
We had another big week of new bird sightings. It seemed that everyone was seeing rose-breasted grosbeaks and orioles, and the hummingbirds have also returned to our feeders.
We have spotted several warblers and vireos, along with a rare sighting of a red-headed woodpecker.
We have spotted our first jack in the pulpits in the woods, and some lucky individuals are finding morel mushrooms.
This weekend we noticed a large return of mosquitoes, dandelions, and creeping charlie.
Fluffy cottonwood and aspen seeds seem to be blowing everywhere.
We have seen an orange sulfur butterfly, some silvery blue butterflies, and an eastern swallowtail butterfly.
A classmate noticed earlier this week that there is a lot of pollen floating on top of the river in calm areas.
We did hear Mr. Latimer talk about being careful to keep hummingbirds' food fresh. We were wondering how many days is okay for it to sit in the feeder.
That is our report for this week. Until next week, keep exploring, keep discovering, and keep connecting with the great outdoors.
You know, boy, those kids are so alert down there and picking up on so many things. Flowers on crabapples, plums, and cherries. And down, and here we had just the day before yesterday, Juneberries. And yesterday I had cherry or plums blooming. The crabapples, some are just sitting on the verge of being in bloom. So We're a little bit behind those guys, but not that far. So it will be some of the things that they're seeing are going to be up here in no time. And yellow warblers, golden wing warblers, Tennessee warblers, common yellow throats, oven birds, palm warblers, a yellow-throated vireo. And that reminds me, I was out the other day and I heard this bird singing in the woods and pretty loudly. And I have Merlin on my phone. It's an app that identifies birds by song, and it is pretty accurate. Not entirely foolproof, but pretty darned accurate. And I was listening to this bird, and I turned Merlin on, and it said I was hearing a yellow-throated vireo. And I thought, well, that's new to me. I didn't even know there was such a bird. So I listened to it, and I played a little of its song back to it, and it called back to me, but it did not come to me, which is if you were looking at yellow-throats or chestnut-sided warblers, if you call back to them, they will come right to you. But this yellow-throated vireo stayed off, but I could hear him, and he was moving about the forest. And finally, I saw a bird moving, and I got my binoculars on him. And boy, it is such a thrill, so exciting to have the phone tell you there's a yellow-throated vireo, and then for me to actually track it down and see it and watch it. It was absolutely astonishing. I was just mesmerized with this bird. So lots of that going on. It's a lot of fun out there right now. Back to their question. Well, first of all, the orange sulfur butterfly, I saw one of those myself. The silvery blue, I think, are probably the spring azure. And eastern swallowtail. Now, the eastern swallowtail up here, we normally have the Canada tiger swallowtail, but the eastern swallowtail is very similar. The interesting thing is that at this latitude, and Dallas Hudson and I and John Weber have all three of us have established this as a pretty constant fact, and that is if you see that large yellow and black butterfly that is at this latitude, the Canada tiger swallowtail, you're going to see a monarch butterfly almost the same day or within a day or two either way. And that can flip. It can be first the monarch and then the swallowtail. But either way, if you see one, you're going to see the other. So I wouldn't be surprised if next week Little Falls probably has monarchs on their list. Mr. Latimer was talking about keeping your hummingbird food fresh. How many days is it okay to sit in the feeder? I just kind of watch it, you know, and if it starts looking a little bit cloudy, I dump it and start over. And that can be depending on the temperature, you know, if it's cool and not really conducive to growing a lot of fungus and that sort of thing, mold in there, I generally can let it go for 4, 5, 6 days. But if it's getting cloudy, then I dump it and start over. But, I seldom leave it in there for more than 5 days. 5 days would be kind of like getting toward the end of its shelf life, I guess you would say. We're going to hear from a school in Little Falls who were at Long Lake Conservation Center located near Palisade, Minnesota.
This is Kaylee from Battle Lake Public School in Battle Lake.
Angela from Good Shepherd School in Golden Valley.
Molly from Mary Lourdes Middle School in Little Falls.
During our outdoor school trip to Long Lake Conservation Center on May 6th through the 8th, the low temperature was 40 degrees Fahrenheit and the high temperature was 72. The first hummingbird of the season was spotted on campus. Long Lake naturalists believe it was probably a scout coming to see if food is available. There have been reports of orioles in the area as well, but none were observed at Long Lake.
A pair of bluebirds were seen at a bluebird house near the chief's garden. We think they are going to build a nest in the birdhouse. Our group heard lots of frogs and saw a tree frog on the bench near the fire pit. Ola found a leech on the bottom of her canoe, and the ticks were out in good numbers despite the rain yesterday.
Our group saw a number of baby turtles making their way to the lake. On the lake, we saw two loons and a beaver. On our bog trek, we got to eat cranberries. They were very sour. We observed a dragonfly, chipmunks, red-winged blackbirds, and even saw a mouse in a room. We named him Tom and let him go back outside. It was a great week in nature, and we want to remind everyone to unplug, get outside, and live connected.
Kaylee, Angela, and Molly, thanks. Great report. Good to have you guys together. Hummingbirds are back. Orioles may be in the area, probably are. bluebirds, tree frog, probably they're going to start singing pretty soon, and you'll hear them. They have a long trill that they give that's pretty easy to identify. Ticks are out in good numbers. I'll go along with that. I have dispatched a number of ticks to the happy hunting ground. I hope that when I pass that I don't end up at the gates of a place where there are ticks on the gate, because it will go poorly for me. I have dispatched many ticks over the years. I have a rule. If they trespass on my body, they die. That's it. I don't ever let a tick go. I don't ever flick a tick off and just let it walk. If it walks on me, I'm going to kill it. That's just how I run. Sorry. We have another report also from Long Lake, and this is from Minnewaska Middle School.
This is Aubrey.
This is Owen.
This is Owen.
This is Kaysen. From the fifth graders from Minnewaska Area Middle School in Glenwood, during our outdoor school trip to Long Lake Conversion Center on May 8th through the 10th, the low temperature was 36 degrees Fahrenheit and the high temperature was 66. Our group spotted and heard the first oral of the season. Service berries are blooming.
Aspen leaves are growing quickly and now about the size of a quarter. And we saw the fiddlehead's ferns sprouting from the forest floor. We found a number of newly hatched baby painted turtles. And one person in our group helped by putting it in the lake. Nice. The grouse are still drumming, which the Long Lake team said was a little late for that. The frogs are croaking loudly in the marshes. They sound a lot like birds.
The ground is muddy from the recent rain, and we found some really cool tracks. In addition to lots of deer tracks, we also found what we think are wolves' tracks and bear paw print near the cooperation course. A neighbor reported capturing a bear on her trail cam, and we found a large deposit of bear scat on campus. There was clearly bear in the area. Wild turkeys were laying their eggs, and we found that two were eaten by an unknown predator.
There was a hole about the size of a golf ball in the side of the eggs. Both eggs were found near the edge of the bog where short-tailed weasels are known to live. We think it might be the critter eating the eggs. One person in our group ate a dandelion and we found lots of slugs. Unfortunately, we found a puddle filled with mosquito larvae. Mosquito season is coming soon. It was a great week in the nature, and we want to remind everyone to unplug, get outside, and live connected.
Indeed. Get outside and live connected, for sure. Lots of references to bears, and there have been a lot of bears in the area. This is a better time of the year for them now. Oftentimes, when food is scarce and they've just emerged, they end up, you know, showing up in places where you'd rather not have them, like in your garbage or at your bird feeder. But I have watched bears pull over aspen, pull over young popple, and bite down. And they actually have a tooth designed for this, where they bite down on an aspen branch and then they pull the branch through their jaws and just strip the buds and leaves off and eat them. And it's pretty astonishing to watch. So hopefully the bears will be less and less of a problem. I noted, too, that they mentioned that the grouse were still drumming. And yesterday, one of my notes was that I was still hearing grouse drumming. And I don't know exactly when they will stop. It'll be when the last guy gives up his chance and turns it all in and says, "The heck with it. I'm just going to be a bird on the ground for the rest of the summer." So, yeah, the grouse are still drumming, so that's kind of cool.
One more recorded report to get to this morning.
Yes, and this one comes from our good friends at the North Shore Community School, where Darcy Rolfe and Lee Jackson are the teachers.
Hello from the North Shore Community School on the north shore of Lake Superior. My name is Cora, and I am your phenologist for this week. May is known as the Flower Moon Month, according to the Ojibwe. On Saturday, May 4th, we had 14 hours and 26 minutes of daylight. Just as the mud had started to dry up on our school playground, on Tuesday, May 7th, students had to have inside recess due to the rain. The benefit of all the rain is that our school grounds are filled with bright green grass. The first hummingbird was spotted on Monday, May 6th. Keep an eye out for Baltimore Orioles as they have arrived. Jim, our school custodian, had one at his bird feeder on Wednesday, May 8th. They enjoyed grape jelly, orange halves, or sugar water in shallow glass jars. Orioles also feed on insects, wild fruit, and flowers for nectar. On May 7th, Penny saw a red-breasted grosbeak at one of her feeders. She also saw a bird she's never seen before, a Blackburnian warbler. She mainly had males in her yard, which have a bright orange throat, black triangles on their faces, a white patch on their wings, and a black back with white stripes. Blackburnians don't usually come up from the eastern side of North America for breeding in the summer and stay all the way down in South America for winters. Miss Jackson's class saw a brown-headed cowbird on Wednesday, May 8th. The first marsh marigold bloomed on May 4th. Preschoolers found blooming marsh marigolds and lady fern fiddleheads on May 8th. Many trees have swollen green buds, but the aspen trees have fully burst and have leaves growing in. Mr. Keegan saw the bloodroot flower in our school forest on Monday, May 6th. The petals were open because it was a sunny day. When he checked it on it on Tuesday, which was cloudy, the petals were closed. The bloodroot is named for its red sap in its roots. Bloodroot was once used as a dye by Native American artists and in natural dyeing of yarn and fabrics. These flowers are snow white in color and they carpet the forest floor. Mrs. Helgeson's class found a pale green assassin bug on Wednesday, May 8th. Miss Rolfe's sixth grade students noticed that there are frog eggs in the swale by the woods edge of the school property on Monday, May 6th. On Sunday, May 5th, Claire had a wood tick on her after playing in the woods. Remember to do tick checks after playing outdoors, as it's been reported that ticks are out in full force. This concludes the phenology report. Have a great week and be observant.
Thank you, Cora. What a nice job. Lots of things going on down there. Frog eggs in the ponds, wood ticks, of course, deer ticks. I had a lot more wood ticks this last week than deer ticks, and that's unusual at my house. Usually I have like five deer ticks for every wood tick, but the wood ticks are certainly getting active. And the cowslips or marsh marigolds are out. That's pretty cool. Those kids are pretty lucky to have those. And somebody found and identified a pale green assassin bug, and they are a really interesting critter. You should check those out. Go on the internet and just type in assassin bug and see what you will learn about that interesting insect here in the North Country. We also received a video from the Phenology Club at Oak Grove Elementary School in Bloomington. Instead of their usual phenology walk last week, they met with Randy Dopp, a local photographer and drone operator. Dave Murphy, a volunteer and substitute teacher at Oak Grove, sent one of the resulting videos. This is the 1 4th grade phenology team. I believe they are all yelling, "Hello, John Latimer and Charlie Mitchell," but I cannot be sure. That video will be posted on our website with the rest of the student reports by sometime tomorrow. And finally, we heard from Kelly Nelson, our partnering teacher at St. Croix Preparatory Academy. She said, "I just got the attached lovely card from one of my students and wanted to share the end of it with you. Thanks for the support to help me get my kids outside and loving nature." The card, which is from a student named Ira, concludes, "I love going outside on phenology walks. I have never known this much about nature." And that, too, will be on our website by tomorrow afternoon. Yeah.
Weepy.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. You know, I do get a little choked up from time to time just kind of thinking about how much fun it is to be outside with kids. I feel like everybody's grandpa and kind of the guy who, you know, "Hey, look at this. Hey, look at that." Mm-hmm. Hey, can I eat this? Well, you can, but you know, you can eat that too. And they're both pretty bad. I mean, if it were good, everybody would know about it, right? Everybody knows about blueberries, raspberries, and strawberries. Nobody knows about the catkins off of the aspens or the... or what? Oh, I once had a kid ask me if he could eat common mullein stalks. And I said, well, you could.
Wow.
But why would you?
Right.
If they were good, there wouldn't be any left.
Yeah.
You know, that's the
dipped
thing.
Dipped in chocolate, perhaps?
Yeah, you know, I suppose you could lick the chocolate off.
Just take the chocolate.
Yeah, I'll just put my hand in the chocolate.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. It is fun, though, and it's rewarding to hear the kids, you know, to have them be appreciative of it.
We also want to ask of you, if you are spending time with kids this summer, your own, your grandkids, or maybe you are involved in a community group, we could really use students getting involved over the summertime, because as classes are out, we would love to still keep working with kids around the state of Minnesota. So let us know. You can email us comments@kaxe.org. Or just give us a call or text at 218-326-1234.